podcast. I said, welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast with Andy Ruther and Joe Prano. Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Dirty Sports Podcast. I am your host, Andy Ruther, coming to you live tonight from an Airbnb in Scottsdale, Arizona, with my co-host on my far left, Joey No Chill Prano.
Hello, Andy.
And in between Joe and I, his Dirty Slides co-host, the one and only, Andy Lazarus.
What's up? What's up? What's up, dirt balls?
The energy is low. I had to force these guys to pod. Is that how you guys wanted to do it in the morning?
Yeah. That's fine. We're here.
I mean, I didn't want to do it at all.
I'm here in the bright lights.
You didn't want to do it at all, Prado.
Completely overlit.
But we have, you know, we have sponsors and whatnot. So
yeah.
We got bills to pay.
We got bills to pay.
Fans were demanding a podcast.
Yeah.
So we're doing it.
We are in a...
I'm not mad about it.
An Airbnb in Scottsdale, Arizona.
You said that.
Yep.
But because
we already need to repeat yourself for content. Let's go.
Yep.
No, the reason...
Get the thing moving.
Jesus Christ, guys. Let's just ease in a little. There's a lot of hostility in this room, I feel. Do you think we all hate each other at this point? We've only been together for about 2 days now.
Les? No.
You hate me?
No.
No, I love you, man.
Yeah, I love you too.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
This line of communication's open.
Yeah, we're good.
We're great.
Yeah. Me and Ruth are good too.
Nothing breaks up a dirty slide.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
We're good.
We're good.
I mean, you know, you're hysterical.
I'm not hysterical. Let's just you're
running around this morning in your underwear yelling about towels.
I was running around because you flooded the entire Airbnb last night.
Allegedly.
Let's get to it for people who do not know, and probably most people do not know. Last night was a long night for us. We went and saw a Padres-Angels game at Tempe Diablo Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Met some dirtballs. Shout out to the dirtballs we met. Who we meet? We met Tyler, Crazy Eyes Sam Bradford.
Crazy Eyes Sam Bradford, a.k.a. Johnny Fez.
Andy Sandals.
And Daniel, or Dano.
Daniel, the world's only living Washington Nationals fan.
Yeah.
I touched him.
He's real.
Yeah, right. He's real. I checked his, at one point when he wasn't looking, I snuck behind him and tried to look for wires.
Yeah.
Or like a control panel.
Yeah.
Seemed
or
to be
like
an actual
just
human,
a projector.
Yeah, seemed to be an actual human being.
Yeah.
We mentioned
that to them.
We walked up the second inning to go grab some food, take a bathroom break, whatever. There was already four dirt balls.
I was super high on edibles.
Waiting.
I had multiple beers in me already.
Yeah.
And I was coming up the stairs, my head down, and there was like a human blockade.
Yeah.
It was like, Prano! And I was like, ah! And it was our dirt ball crew.
It's got to be nice.
I was put at ease immediately when... Crazy Eyes Sam Bradford was wearing a Prano 2020 sticker, so I knew I was.
That's probably the only reason I accepted drugs from him, a total stranger.
Yeah.
Well, he gave me
a peach. He's like, "Hey, Les, I don't know if you're into this, but I got like peach edibles." I'm like, "Absolutely, I'm
it's
into
something
it.
That I'm.
Give me your
I'm
drugs, stranger.
My constituents do forever,
right?
Constantly on the giving out drugs kick.
Yeah, I trusted him immediately because Prano 2020.
Yeah, he just handed you and I.
Mm-hmm.
I
ate it immediately. You stuck it in your pocket because you're a hoarder.
I'm trying to be responsible. Somebody's got to drive us around.
Whatever, hoarder.
You know, at the time, you actually said it was a smart... You yourself said, don't eat this edible until we get back to the house.
I know, because I know you'd be hysterical.
Again, what is your definition of the word hysterical?
Joe.
To me...
This morning...
I was not hysterical.
This morning, was he not... Running around in his underwear, screaming
about towels being dried in the hysterical last night as well while the flood was being cleaned up.
Right.
Laying here yelling.
I didn't see the flood, so I, you know.
Yelling about the
You guys
the
are so dramatic. No.
So you're so dramatic.
No. You guys are you're exaggerating.
Even right now when we were setting up for the podcast, I was like, all right, I'm going to pull a Ruther. You're last night, like, I did the work of cleaning up a flooded Airbnb while you slept. I was like, I'm going to take a nap while you set up the podcast. You're out here hysterical, talking to himself, yelling, screaming, 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. I'm like, motherfucker, I'm napping.
That's not me being hysterical. That's me giving you a time warning of when we're going to go live as I set up.
Hysteria.
No, last night, here's what happened. We went to the bars. I'm sorry. We came back from the game.
Yes.
We hung out here for 20 minutes, and we went to the bars in Scottsdale. And when Joe and I came back last night, the entire hallway was flooded. My bedroom was flooded. The bathroom was flooded. Someone left the faucet on in the main area bathroom.
It has to be pointed out, specifically not the bathroom in the master bedroom. I have my own bathroom. It's the only bathroom I've used the whole time I was here. The Andes, the wet bandits over here, have their own bathroom.
Yep.
And that was where the sink was overflowing, still running when I got here. Water everywhere.
Like about an inch deep?
I mean, not an inch deep, but cover, like, you know, a huge... Like a flooded.
It was wet in here. The tile got wet.
Everything was
allegedly
wet.
I didn't see any of this.
It was wet. So right. You flooded the entire fucking house.
So you say.
You were the one who brushed your teeth before we went to the bar. Your toothpaste cap was in the sink.
That's circumstantial evidence at best.
No,
at
this
best.
Is Michael Jackson shit.
That has nothing to do.
Do you think Michael Jackson touched those
what
kids?
Does, what
do
does,
you think Michael Jackson touched those kids?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. So there's...
Can I prove it?
Hold on. Is there circumstantial evidence?
Possibly. I don't know. I haven't watched the whole thing.
So there's circumstantial evidence that you... I didn't even go in that bathroom. There's literally no other feasible...
Have you proven that Michael Jackson has fucked those kids?
No.
No. But, no. You haven't. Just like you can't prove... I left the sink on.
Yeah, I do. No. Because you brushed your teeth, your toothpaste.
This argument doesn't hold up in court.
Yeah, it does.
Doesn't hold water.
Doesn't hold water. Sorry.
It does.
Sorry. So you say. This is all hearsay, as far as I'm concerned.
Because
I came back at 2:30 in the morning. Everything was dry. I mean, in hysterics. I went to bed.
You know, if you put a gun in my head and say who left the thing on, you know, I might lean toward Andy Lazarus.
Stop being a pussy now.
But hold
you,
on.
You know he did.
But
it.
I only know one thing for certain. It was one of the two wet bandits over here. It was one of the wet bandits. Yeah. I can say for sure it wasn't me.
Yeah. And you're really protesting a lot, which makes me think you're suspect.
How am I suspect? I didn't brush my teeth before I went to the bars. You did.
Okay. What does that have to do with anything?
Because it was your toothpaste cap that was stuck in the sink, which flooded. Prano spent an hour. He used 13 towels.
How did the... okay.
Have you who given cares? Joe an apology?
I don't know that I did this, so what am I apologizing for? Flooding I've just merely been accused of doing this.
I've not asked for an apology from anybody.
Yeah. I think you should offer him an apology.
That's an admission of guilt. I don't know that I did this. All I know is I came back at 2:30 in the morning and was vehemently accused by you of doing this. And then this morning... You were still railing on and being hysterical about the towels that Joe used had to be in the dryer.
No, because
that's where wet towels go. That's their
home. Because then I had to wash and dry all the towels, 13 of them.
I'm sorry, you had to wash and dry the towels. Joe had to use the towels and pick them up. And according to Joe, you didn't even help him out then. So you should have at least washed and dried the towels.
Yeah, I did my part. I went up. Okay. I got coffee for everybody this morning, minus myself.
Good for you.
I got McDonald's.
Very
I went
good.
To Walmart. I was up and at them at 8 a.m.
So, what do you want? A medal?
So, my point is this.
Yeah.
You should apologize to Joe Prano.
I'm not going to apologize for something I didn't do.
So, you think I did it? You think I flooded
I don't
this
know
entire Airbnb?
It. Yeah, probably.
You have no evidence.
Right. I have
evidence.
Yeah, but the burden of proof is
you
on you.
You brushed your teeth.
That doesn't have anything to do with faucets.
Prano is on record on Periscope accusing you of being the wet bandit.
Well,
Prano,
that's
you
fine.
Are.
That's fine, but he still hasn't proven anything.
You think if this went to a court.
I'm 100%. The one that cleaned it up.
Yeah.
And I am fine.
He doesn't
care.
It's
over. We have an entire tile Airbnb. Thank God we're in Arizona, not Vermont,
right,
where we would have wood damage for years.
Yeah, then you'd be really hysterical. Wood damage.
I wasn't hysterical. I just...
No, you were hysterical. And not only were you were hysterical about hypothetics. There was... You raged for about a half hour about what if the podcast gear had gotten wet.
Yeah, but it hadn't.
It's like a half hour. I'm like, but it didn't. You're like, but what if it had?
And you were also in your underwear screaming and yelling about it, which makes you... It's hard for me to take you seriously if you're in your underwear.
I just got out of the shower.
Right. Okay.
So I just had my underwear on.
All right, but for 30 minutes you had your underwear on, yelling and running up and
down. I can only imagine how hysterical you would have been had you not been participating in cannabis last night.
Yeah.
So got a big shout out to Trevor for getting you back into using cannabis.
Trevor.
As Jesus pointed out to us tonight.
Yeah.
Jesus, shout out to Jesus who we met tonight. Shout out to Mason who we met, Mormon Dirtball. First of all, Jesus was drunk, so everything.
Jesus is always drunk.
Wow, just
big deal.
Can you prove that?
Yeah, because
he told me
many times I'm shit faced. So the fact that you're trying
hearsay.
To
clear say,
you know what, guys? Let's just talk sports because
you got nothing.
No,
you got nothing.
No, because I got a lot of shit to do. I got a fucking. You guys have to go. You know, go your little ways and sleep. I got to thrust and load this podcast when it's done.
Oh my gosh!
I got to fucking break down the equipment.
Oh yeah, these two lights. Give me a break. You got nothing. You got nothing.
You know, you're stuck with me driving back to Los Angeles.
And guess
Andy.
What? You'll still have nothing then. You're never gonna prove this.
I'm gonna hit up our Airbnb host.
Okay.
I'm going to let him know that you flooded it.
That seems cool. Like a terrible, terrible idea.
Terrible idea.
Okay. Joe, let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr.
Do we have to?
Let's pivot the show a little. Let's talk about OBJ.
Do we have to?
We do.
Okay. The New York Football Giants traded a potentially all-time receiver. I mean, the fastest receiver to a million different fucking statistics. Arguably one of the best athletes in the NFL. They got a first round pick, a third round pick, and who else? Oh, and
Jabril Peppers.
Yeah. Jabril Peppers.
You didn't even get Julius? You should have got Julius Peppers, too.
We got Jabril Peppers.
Yeah.
They've replaced Landon Collins with Jabril Peppers. They've replaced Odell Beckham Jr. with Golden Tate.
They replaced Olivia Vernon with Marcus Golden. He's not a bad player. He's on a one-year deal. It's a prove-it deal. He's going to be motivated.
I just, you know, a lot of people have been asking me what the strategy is, what's the Giants' plan. To which I can only say, I don't know. I said earlier today, change the uniform colors to pink, move them to Portland, call themselves the Donuts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know
the plan
what they're doing.
Yeah.
I get the fucking, everybody wants to say, well, the Giants haven't won anything with fucking Odell Beckham. Well, the Giants haven't won anything with Saquon Barkley. Are we trading Saquon Barkley? Odell Beckham has 4 1,000-yard seasons in his 6 seasons in the NFL. Golden Tate's been playing in the league 9 years, has 3,000-yard seasons. So he has one less 1,000-yard seasons in twice as long as Odell Beckham Jr. He fucked his old quarterback's ex-wife. He got caught breaking into a donut shop. As an NFL fucking player, he's breaking into donut shops. He already posted a video where he played both Jerry Maguire and the fucking black dude in Jerry Maguire in the Show Me the Money video.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Gooding Jr. He's already posted that. Everybody with the Odell Beckham is a fucking show me, look at me, diva wide receiver. He's already posted a Show Me the Money 2-part video.
And he went to Notre Dame on top of all that.
And great, I like Golden Tate. Great, but I like Jabril Peppers, but I don't like him as much as Landon Collins, and I don't like Golden Tate as much as Odell Beckham Jr., and I just think that Odell Beckham Jr. has been called out. It's really the angry white guy that doesn't like Odell Beckham Jr.
Whose name is?
I'm just saying generally. That's who doesn't like Odell Beckham Jr.
Because it seems like Dave Gettleman doesn't like
Odell. But the angry white guy everywhere. Right. He's a cancer. Every player that has left the New York Giants in the last 5 years has gone to another team and immediately tweeted that Odell Beckham should come to their team. So this whole, they don't like, no, he's a locker room cancer. Everybody that leaves wants him to come to their team. Jarvis Landry played with him 4 years in college. He's been recruiting him for four seasons. The guy is crying on the sideline and kicking things over because his team isn't doing well. Suddenly we hate fucking people who are really upset about losing now. I've done the tweets a million fucking times. When Tom Brady runs over to the fucking sideline and screams at everybody and kicks something over, he's passionate. Right. When Odell Beckham does it, he's the N-word. Because people are fucking assholes.
I think that's a stretch.
Okay, well, Lawrence Taylor was fucking children and smoking crack. So,
yeah, he was.
He was also winning Super Bowls.
Yeah, he was winning Super Bowls. He didn't win Super Bowl his first year in the league. He didn't win Super Bowl his second year in the league. He won two Super Bowls in his fucking career. And I love Lawrence Taylor, and I'm so glad we didn't get rid of Lawrence Taylor. And guess what? The Giants were never going to win with Odell Beckham. When he wins with Cleveland, is that immediately out the window? Because everybody in fucking Cleveland's super excited to have him. I have a feeling next year it's not going to be like, oh, what's the problem? Fucking Baker and Odell are not getting along. Also, you have Shepard, you have Ingram, you have Saquon, and you're looking to get a new quarterback. And we've been talking about the rookie deal for quarterbacks. Odell Beckham was in the perfect position. They can pay all those guys. They don't have to pay their next quarterback because they're going to draft somebody young. They can fucking trade for Josh Rosen. They can get Dwayne Haskins. They can trade up to get Kyler Murray, whatever it is.
But are you really surprised? Like, this trade doesn't surprise me at all.
This surprised me.
Well, but why? Because the reason it doesn't surprise me is because Odell's been having issues within the organization for a year and a half
again,
now.
What does within the organization mean?
That means with the front office.
Yes, with, exactly.
So the owner and Gettleman.
So they've been having issues. That's
who
my point.
Are white.
Well, first of all, hold on. First of all, the ownership is one thing. The ownership is not. It's not supposed to be in charge of fucking making right. a call on who does or does not make the team. He has a new general manager in Dave Gettleman, who signed last offseason. Who immediately inked him to a $90+ million deal that they're now still going to pay a part of because he traded him. Who also, you know, we love to fucking say, like, well, this player said this and then did this. This player, he said, we didn't sign him to trade him. And then immediately traded him.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make that guy a fucking lying asshole?
That's why it surprised me, I think.
But that didn't surprise me because they're all full of shit. How many times do GMs say one thing and do another? It does make him a lying asshole. There's no denying that. But my point is, you see this time and time again in pro sports.
I guess it surprised me because I heard like the Niners were trying to get him. I'm like, the Niners will never get him. And
here's the thing.
Going to Cleveland, damn.
John Dorsey was with the Chiefs. Built the fucking Chiefs up.
Yep.
Chiefs played in the AFC Championship game this year. Drafted Pat Mahomes. Won the fucking MVP. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks the job he did with the Chiefs, fantastic. Goes over to the fucking Browns, turns them around. They won one game in two seasons.
7 wins. Right? They get 7 wins?
Yeah, 7-8-1.
It's pretty good.
7 wins last year.
Yeah. And they had 4 games they should have won, probably.
Hated by everybody in Carolina. Turned Carolina into fucking what? And then goes to the Giants. John Dorsey... jizzing in his pants was like they've been talking about he wants Odell for fucking 2 months now. Got him.
Pretty sure Dave Gettleman also traded Carolina's best player, Steve Smith. How'd that work out?
Well, I want to talk
about the wide receiver thing. It just pisses me off. My friends, my fellow Giants fans, we were never gonna fucking win. He's a diva. Name me a team that doesn't have a diva wide receiver.
New England.
Okay. We've I think we've covered you. If you want to go back into the fucking Dirty Sports archives, I think we've covered sufficiently how New England chooses their wide receivers.
Cincinnati, AJ Green's not a diva wide receiver.
Cincinnati never going to win with AJ Green. Too quiet. Not a leader. Never going to win with them.
Hold on, dude.
Julio
you're
Jones,
getting all defensive.
Quiet. No, yeah, but
you,
I'm saying
you asked the question, and we're naming non diva right. guys. And, Julio and, Jones, AJ Green,
not a leader, not leaders.
Says who?
Says me. Not loud enough in the locker room. Not out on the field, rah-rahing guys up. Yeah. Not a leader.
Dude, how many
playoff games have they won with AJ Green?
Dude,
not a leader.
You're getting so defensive.
Because this is what people do. Because when you have blonde hair and you kick over kicking nets, you're not a leader. But when you don't talk to anybody and your team never wins any playoff games ever, you're fine. Right? Why isn't AJ Green called out for they're never winning? They feed him the ball, never win. They've never won a playoff game with AJ Green, ever.
Well, Joe, he's also not bringing attention on himself. Julio Jones isn't bringing attention on themselves.
Great, Antonio Brown was bringing attention on himself,
and right? They got rid of him.
Yeah, they got rid of him. Exactly. Ben Roethlisberger bringing attention on himself, correct or not correct?
He's the fucking quarterback. It's a little
great.
Different.
Didn't get rid of him.
Yeah, he brought attention on himself
with
for
the rape
raping
charges.
Chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't get rid of him.
Cam Newton bringing attention on himself
for zany clothes.
But you're also naming guys right there who've been to Super Bowls. So I don't know what lane you're in right now. You're naming guys who haven't won anything, but you're also naming guys like Ben Roethlisberger, who's won two Super Bowls, Cam Newton, who's been to a Super Bowl.
Great, and Cam Newton embarrassed himself in that Super Bowl and showed a complete lack of effort in that Super Bowl and was criticized for not diving on a football in that Super Bowl.
And also, didn't he not shake hands?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not taking a position on this.
I'm just saying. I think it's ridiculously fucking stupid. The reason it's shocking is because who trades a fucking world class talent for what?
For Jabril Peppers and two picks. It didn't seem like enough. When you heard about the compensation, were you like, oh yeah, that's a good deal for the Giants?
The NFL for me is tough to determine. I mean, I was shocked what the Raiders gave, how little the Raiders gave up, even though he's a lot older. For Antonio Brown. So
they give up a 3 and a 5.
That's what I'm saying. That's nothing. He's still a top 5 receiver, Antonio Brown.
He's a top 2.
But that's my point. I was shocked for how little that trade worked out.
Well, they had less leverage.
I can't figure it out is my point. I don't understand NFL trades at all.
Pittsburgh fucked themselves.
Okay.
Because they were like, they put a deadline on him, right? They're like, we want to get this done this week. Well, you're putting yourself in a poor bargaining position that way. And if everybody knows you want to trade the guy, the fucking value goes down. Like, the Giants allegedly went in and said, okay, wow us with the ultimate deal.
If you want to argue...
And I'm just saying, if that wowed you, I don't think that's enough.
If you want to argue...
For Odell.
You don't want a great wide receiver on your team. If you want to argue, Julio Jones has never won anything. AJ Green's never won anything. Antonio Brown's never won anything. Odell Beckham's never won anything. If you want to argue you don't want a star wide receiver, okay. I'll hear that argument. But then don't draft one.
Yeah, I think that's what the Niners are doing. They don't want good receivers. But
that's
they haven't
your argument,
won shit.
But don't make the argument
not
the guy's
ever,
a locker room cancer when all his teammates love him. Don't make the argument that he doesn't care about winning when you get pissed off when he fucking cares about winning too much. Don't say he doesn't fucking show a lot of passion when you get pissed off when he shows too much fucking passion on the field when he gets into fights with guys who come after him. Like,
but you're defending him on all fronts. It's like the thing is here's there's nothing you don't dislike about him. And I think there's a problem there. Like everything he does is fine with you.
What should I have a problem with?
But my point is...
My question.
And my answer is this, that you have zero problems with him.
I've had the same problem with every player in every sport across... When you go at your teammates and it's clear to everybody that your teammates don't like you, now we have a fucking... Terrell Owens attacked quarterbacks. verbally assaulted quarterbacks in front of 60 cameras week in and week out.
You know what the issue here is? And they're not talking about it. I guarantee you there's a problem with Eli and Odell that no one's talking about.
Okay. So everybody's got to fucking pick a lane then. Is Eli the reason that the Giants are the fucking shit show that they are? Or is Odell? Because everybody wants to...
You answer that as a Giants fan.
I don't think either of them are. You know what I think the problem with the New York Giants is? Their offensive line fucking sucks and their defense is a goddamn joke. The same thing that's wrong with every bad football team in the world. Their offensive line is dog shit. Their defense can't stop anybody. You know when fucking diva wide receivers don't matter? When your fucking offensive line, like the Dallas Cowboys in the 90s, fucking shits on people, your receiver can go around the world smoking crack cocaine.
Okay, so then you actually hit on something then. So then maybe to improve those different positions that matter, the offensive line, the defensive line, you got to get rid of some of these contracts. And that might include Eli and Odell and whoever.
They just signed Odell's contract.
Well, maybe Gettleman, who's new, is like, we don't want to
deal with
this. Or
maybe they can fucking draft a goddamn lineman.
I'm just saying, we know this. You say this all the time, that these big contracts can kind of hang over these teams.
Sure. Great. And that's why you shouldn't give them to anybody.
What's Eli making this year?
$23 million.
So Eli's making $23 million this year.
Right. That's what doesn't make sense.
That's the point, though.
That's the point. It doesn't make sense to restart by not cutting Eli. Like, if you're going to, like you were saying,
they could have
cut Eli, kept Odell, kept all these studs, and drafted a quarterback and paid him nothing because you're paying all these guys.
But you're paying...
That plan would have made sense.
Yeah.
But you're... This plan doesn't, like, make sense right now.
But they were already paying him. They were already paying Odell. And they were already paying Eli. Now, they weren't already paying Landon Collins, who wanted to be the number one fucking paid safety in football and became the number one. So, fine. You let him go. You don't think he wasn't going to play for the franchise tag. So, you let him go. Fine. Did I fucking freak out when they fucking let Landon Collins go and he goes and signs for $14 million? Do I love Landon Collins? Yes. Was I freaking out? No. You have to make financial decisions. Eli Manning, for 1 year, while you draft Dwayne Haskins or whoever, you're paying $23 million for one of the, in my opinion, greatest quarterbacks of all time who led your team to two fucking Super Bowls with two Super Bowl MVPs, who has certainly proven that he could teach somebody how not to fucking get hurt. He's never missed a fucking snap in his life. You have a $23 million Hall of Fame mentor for a quarterback who's going to take over and be handed Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, Evan Engram, and fucking figure out an offensive line.
I think what their mindset, again, we don't know, but I'm just going to take a stab at it. The Giants are just... this thing is just blowing up. They've sucked the last couple years. Who knows what they're going to do with Eli? I think they're going to obviously address that probably in the draft. But I think from the Giants' standpoint, it was they just wanted to blow it up. They just wanted to hit the reset button, so to speak. And whether it's right or wrong is to be determined.
But then if that's the case, then you cut Eli Manning.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If you blow it up right. You cut Eli. You know? And then you can afford.
I understand not wanting
Odell.
I understand not wanting to fucking cut Eli because, like, you know, it's a sour end to his career. But they also didn't need. That's the thing. I don't think they are blowing. They just signed Golden Tate to a $40 million contract. Golden Tate, they signed a $40 million contract.
I don't know what's going on in New York.
No one knows what's going on.
You're gonna love those 6 yard button hooks.
Like, no one knows what's going on.
Sucks.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Like, you know whose teammates didn't like him? You know who's a coach killer? You know who had a book written about what a piece of shit he was to friends, family, coaches, and teammates? Michael Jordan. Coach killer. Fucking running teammates out of town. And guess what they did? They found a guy who understood how to fucking deal with Michael Jordan. And then they surrounded Michael Jordan with extremely, extremely talented pieces. And then Michael Jordan won fucking six NBA championships. But before that, diva, asshole, punching people, coach killer. Imagine they had fucking traded him. They're like, ah, dude, he told Doug Collins he was a piece of shit. So we had to trade him. Imagine that. Imagine the fucking Bulls chose Doug Collins over Michael Jordan. Imagine they had chosen fucking Craig Hodges. Oh, we can't just let him go punching John Paxson in the face. This guy's a fucking wild card. Get him out of here. You know who has a fucking massive ego? The people who have been the biggest swinging dick everywhere they've went in their whole fucking life. Odell Beckham's like, you know why I can talk a bunch of shit? None of you can catch me. Literally. I'm faster than everybody that I've ever come into contact with in my whole life.
Well, look, I think the legacy, so to speak, with Odell is going to be determined pretty shortly, because how it plays out, to kind of pivot to talk about the Browns, I think is going to say a lot. Because personally, I'm very curious as a fan of football how this is going to work when you have arguably the best. They're the best duo in the NFL now. I don't think there's a question. Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr. You also now have Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. Like, you, Baker Mayfield. You have a
Njoku.
Njoku, great. Yeah. You have a lot of egos. You have a lot of alpha males on one team.
They're going to be awesome.
And I don't know if that's the case, though. I really don't.
I know you think they're going to be 9-7.
My prediction is 9-7.
I think they're going to be at least 11-5.
The coach has to manage these guys, is what I'm saying. And we have a rookie coach. We have a brand new coach.
Right.
Can he manage the egos?
I'm not making any prediction on them next year, because I don't know what this guy's fucking deal is. One thing's for sure, he's a first-year NFL head coach. But guess what?
But they do have a stud.
Their
GM.
Fucking team is stacked.
Yeah. They are. They're stacked on paper.
And they took Vernon.
Yeah. They got Olivia Vernon, too.
So, but oh, no. They don't have fucking Jabril Peppers to fucking return punts. If we needed a punt returner, why were we having Odell Beckham return punts? You know who's the best athlete on the field, regardless of where you're playing? Unless the Steelers sign Usain Bolt, Odell Beckham's your fucking punt returner.
They're going to be awesome.
You think the Steelers for sure win that division?
The Steelers?
Yeah. I'm sorry. The Browns.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's going to be tough, but I think they win it. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk.
I don't know. I don't know if the Browns win it next year, but I think the Browns win the majority of the AFC North titles in the next decade.
The next decade?
For sure.
You're saying the Browns win the majority of that division in the next 10 years.
Right.
Wow.
Right now, who's
the best quarterback in that division? Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay. But in the next 5 years, it's not going to be Ben Roethlisberger, and it's not going to be Lamar Jackson, and it's not going to be Andy Dalton. It's going to be Baker.
Maybe.
Baker's the best.
He's played 1 year.
Fucking sick.
He's played 1 year.
The best rookie season. He had 28 touchdowns, didn't he?
I fucking hate the entire state of Ohio. You're both sort of from there. Doesn't make it better.
Jesus, the disrespect.
Cincinnati and Cleveland. I actually like Cincinnati more than Cleveland. I think Cleveland's a fucking cesspool. I hate it. I fucking am miserable that Odell Beckham went to Ohio. I feel like it's karma for all of the just honest and fucking sharp destruction of Ohio that I've done over the years. But they're going to be fucking good, because he's a goddamn all-worlder.
But again, there's one football.
So what? There's one football.
I don't think this is the Warriors situation, because people use the same thing.
Is it the fucking...
when they say, oh, there's one basketball. Dude, again, you have...
Is it the Niners situation? Is it Rice and Taylor and Craig? Is it...
and Rathman and fucking...
is it Irvin
Brent
and Harper
Jones?
And Smith and Novacek and...
Oh,
like,
Novacek was nasty. Yeah.
I think times are a lot different now. You have a different type of athlete, and you have a different type of mental mindset with these young millennial athletes versus those guys. I do think it's different.
I think they're going to be awesome. I'll bet you they're 11-plus wins.
And they could be. Yeah. They could win 11, 12 wins. I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility. I just think also it's fucking Cleveland. let's take everything else out of it.
It was Cleveland last year, and they won fucking 7 wins with fucking with Baker Mayfield.
Still Cleveland.
7 wins. It's a is amazing for Cleveland.
Brown's gonna brown.
Not anymore. Brown's gonna ball.
I think Browns aren't gonna brown. I think they're gonna win, and that's what's gonna make it so much worse.
Yep.
Is that Odell Beckham's gonna do for the Browns, and they're gonna be like, he never's gonna win in New York. He just won in Cleveland. The Browns. Mm-hmm. The Browns gonna brown. Here's the thing. If your argument is gonna be you don't want a great receiver on your team, fine. Come to that argument. Every other argument, take it, light it on fire, and shove it up your ass because it's fucking stupid. He fucking did a fucking thing with Lil Wayne, and then they asked about Eli. He said, I don't know. Like, how much more do you want him to fucking? He said, I don't know. He's never fucking yelled at anybody. His teammates, as far as you can tell, love the guy. Supposedly the guy who gave the fucking halftime speech in the locker room before whatever game down the stretch that they fucking needed to win. Like, he cares about football.
I know you're not going to agree with this, but I think the mistake was they're just holding on too long to fucking Eli, man. You know, the whole fiasco happened 2 seasons ago when he was benched for Geno Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, it's like a marriage that should just get a divorce.
And
I feel like they've held on too long. And I was all for them drafting Saquon Barkley. I think he's a great running back, probably the best in the NFL. But my point is this. I think that, in a way, is the nucleus of all this shit that's creating all these problems with the organization.
I wholeheartedly disagree. And I think the problem with Eli Manning is that his offensive line is a fucking joke. And that's the problem with the New York Giants. But no one fucking points the finger at the guys whose names they don't know. They point the finger at the guys whose names they do know. They point the finger at the coach and the diva wide receiver and the fucking superstar quarterback. No one's saying shit. Who started at linebacker last year for the New York Giants? Can you name a starting linebacker for the New York Giants?
The guy they traded from the Rams, Ogletree.
Okay.
Ogletree.
So you got one?
I don't know besides
right.
That.
Yep.
Who's in their secondary besides Landon Collins?
Eli Apple.
They had Eli Apple and they traded him to the Saints.
Yep.
No idea.
Who else did you have? No, Amakimura left your team a few years ago. Look, dude, I don't know. I don't know the Giants roster per se off the top of my head.
They fucking suck. That's why their defense and their offensive line are terrible.
But my point is, you guys have been holding on too long to Eli. Like that's just my opinion.
Okay,
you're going to disagree. Again, he cost a lot of money. He won you 2 Super Bowls. Cool. I'm a what have you done for me lately, dude? You haven't won a playoff game since 2011.
Yeah,
since 2011.
Yeah,
it's 2019.
There's a consistent thread between teams that have shitty offensive lines and fucking ones that win Super Bowls.
I agree, but sometimes teams with shitty offensive lines.
They missed on backup or the next quarterback. They tried, you know, Davis Webb wasn't any good.
But they haven't tried. But I don't think that they should have tried.
Well, what I'm saying is, they drafted quarterbacks. They brought them to camp. They saw him play. They're like, yeah, this guy's not next. You know what I mean?
But my question is,
so you shouldn't trade Eli when you don't have
when you evaluate somebody, you have to evaluate them based on what physically they can and can't do. What is the problem with Eli Manning now that he should no longer be the quarterback of the New York Football Giants? He doesn't have the arm. He's like paid. No, he got hurt. He can't make the throws anymore. That's not true. He can make the throws.
Can he?
Yeah.
Can he?
No. Yeah. I mean, I've watched him and been like, yeah, this guy still makes throws. Sometimes it's a giant miss, and then I'm wondering, well, did the receiver run to the wrong spot? You know, did he just miss him? I have no idea. You know what I mean? There were a lot of times when I don't watch the Giants as much as you. There were a lot of times that I saw just miscommunication.
Yeah.
Between the receiver, Eli looking at him like, you're supposed to go this way, and he went
this way. Said a million times about the New York Giants and other fucking young football teams, which is stop giving first year and second year and third year wide receivers option routes. Stop it. It's never worked once.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, the idea that that the TB12 method is why Tom Brady hasn't lost fucking shit on his fastball, and Eli Manning has like it's Peyton Manning did it with literally a severed neck and no arm. It's not about the physical. It's about the fact that they don't protect him, they can't run the ball, and they can't stop anybody.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I saw a lot of, like, screen passes to Saquon last year that he had to run 40 yards to get two. And then just...
Because they're not a good football team. Yeah. And honestly...
I don't remember seeing it as much with the old coach.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what Shermer's deal is. That other guy was fucking in way over his head. Like...
It's just the idea that you're lost and you don't have a fucking idea what you're doing and that your move is then to just get rid of your best player.
That's what I'm saying.
Seems to me like
there's no easy. See,
not only that, not your best player, your best player on both sides of the ball. You get rid of your best player on defense and you get rid of your best player. Now, yeah. Saquon is going to be their best player,
mm-hmm.
but Odell Beckham has been their best player. Mm-hmm. Odell Beckham and Landon Collins have been able they haven't won shit in the years where they haven't. Okay, great. That doesn't mean that AJ Green's not the fucking best player on the Cincinnati Bengals just because they fucking suck. Doesn't mean that Matthew Stafford's not the best player on the fucking Detroit Lions just because they fucking suck. There's a lot of teams that fucking suck.
Well, you know who doesn't suck? Sinking! Great segue there. Great segue by me. Guys, we've been going to spring training games all week, and we've been getting our tickets via SeatGeek. Again, we've met dirtballs at every game. Shout out to all the dirtballs who came out. And I know every dirtball who saw us out here in Arizona got their tickets via SeatGeek. The best part is that you can see exactly where you're sitting. So before we went to all these games, we knew exactly the aerial view, what side of the ballpark we'd be at. So go on SeatGeek right now. You can get tickets for any event, not just sports. Comedy shows, concerts, music festivals, Broadway, you name it. SeatGeek is available. All live events. And best of all dirtballs get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. So just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code DIRTY today. That's promo code DIRTY for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. And I am going to be using SeatGeek to... go to the Lakers because I have to own up on that bet to Sam Tripoli.
What was your bet?
Wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey that says no means no.
Did you bet the Lakers made the playoffs?
I bet that they would go farther than the Clippers.
Ooh.
Yeah, I took a big L on that one.
L chain.
Yeah, serious L on that one. We do have to finish up some other NFL stuff. We got to discuss Le'Veon Bell going to the New York Jets. That's obviously a big story. 4 years, right? $52 million, I believe $35 million in guaranteed. We talked about this in the drive up, though.
Yeah,
he actually lost money by sitting out last year. Correct?
He lost $14 million to secure that 35.
But wasn't he? What was he offered?
I'm pretty sure the original offer that the Steelers made to him was 4 years, $70 million.
And he got 4 years, 52 from the Jets.
Yeah.
But he wanted more because Gurley had just signed for more than that.
Right.
And the initial reports were, he should hold out. He should get, and then it's like, okay, well, didn't really work out. Not only did you not get that deal, you didn't get the $14 million last year. And I get
it. Do you think it came down from the commissioner, to the whoever's offering money? You absolutely cannot offer him more than the Steelers because you can't
The only reason I would say it didn't is because I think that they're maybe avoiding some collusion for the next few years. They might just be they might just have a league tap the brakes on collusion.
Like, we can't collude anymore. We need
next
a
thing you know, we'll
collusion timeout.
Next thing you know, we'll be paying Le'Veon Bell $500 million to just fucking...
Well, I think this shows that he doesn't really... Well, Le'Veon, to me, is all about the money, obviously, and I don't care. You can be. But you chose... I said this in the car ride. To me,
Steelers?
I was ready to say Lakers, Browns. I'm out of my mind. I need to get some sleep. The Steelers are a great organization. They've always been a great organization. They're always in the thick of it.
Allegedly. So they say.
Statistically.
Okay.
Facts. Just like
Mike Tomlin, let's come back to the what have you done for me lately
question.
Okay, hold on. Let me finish. My point is you left the Steelers organization to go to the New York Jets, who another fact, have not been a strong organization in the National Football League.
Yeah,
that's all
yeah.
I'm saying.
And I agree with you. Like, look, Jets fans are very excited right now. Every Jets fan's turned up. This is it. The Jets do this all the time.
Yeah.
But let's look at, you want to question what guys are doing in the locker room. Great athletes are cutting and running away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're basically saying that Ben Roethlisberger is a piece of shit that treats them all like fucking garbage. And that Mike Tomlin fucking lets him do it.
Lets it happen.
Lets it happen. Mike Tomlin, I've been arguing for fucking years on this show, is overrated. He basically got the Les Miles fucking title where he gets one right. He gets one with somebody else's fucking team. And then what has he done lately? What has he done lately except for have arguably the most talented team in his division every year lose to the fucking Bengals, lose to the fucking Ravens. Now he's going to lose to the fucking Browns.
He's going to lose to the Browns.
What happened? Steelers win a Super Bowl every fucking 4 years.
Yeah.
And now people are just going, yo, we don't want to play with the guy who's a fucking rapist but still thinks he can tell us what to do.
And also, like, I heard with Antonio Brown specifically, like, the coaches would call him kid all the time. Like, yeah, he's a good kid. Yeah, way to go, kid. And, dude, like, guy's 30 years old. He's out there fucking kicking ass every week, being one of the greatest receivers in the league, and like your own coaches are calling you kid.
Wait, you have a problem with the kid thing? I call people kid all the time.
Oh, that's cool, but like you wouldn't call Antonio Brown kid.
Saying like he's a good kid?
Yeah, no, it's patronizing and it's patronizing for sure.
I don't think it's patronizing.
Well,
we can agree. Okay, well, yeah. We can agree to disagree. I don't think calling someone a kid is patronizing.
Yeah, I think when in a work environment, when your boss is calling you kid all the time,
that same boss is probably calling everybody kid because they're.
I'm just saying. For Antonio Brown, a guy who was a fifth round pick who had to earn everything
only one question matters. Is he calling Ben Roethlisberger kid?
Yeah.
And I'll say,
I bet you he's not.
Well, we don't know that.
No, but that's I know why he's I asked the calling. Question, and this, and I said,
yeah,
I bet.
And I know he's calling Antonio Brown a kid. And I can see how that would have said
me
him.
Personally. I would not be sensitive to the term kid.
Okay,
I wouldn't.
Okay, but so, Antonio Brown is a different person.
Okay,
and Antonio Brown was a fifth round draft pick.
Okay.
Had to earn everything he got.
Yeah.
Was given nothing.
Yeah.
And now he's, if not the best, top two receiver in the league. And you got a coach patronizing him.
Who's this coach?
Todd Haley.
But Todd Haley hasn't coached there for a few years.
Well, this is Todd Haley talking about Antonio Brown now. And so, like, and then I heard from Antonio Brown talking about this. I'm like, yeah, I can see that. That would bother me if I was Antonio Brown. And if they're not, and if, like Joe's saying, if they're not calling Ben Roethlisberger kid, that's patronizing. And if he wants his money.
And guess what? Here's the thing, to just bring it all the way back around. And then Antonio Brown said, I wanted to leave. Yeah. And you know what the difference is between him and Odell Beckham? Odell Beckham never one fucking time ever hinted that he wanted to fucking go anywhere.
Right.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
They straight up asked him during an interview
if he's happy in New York.
And he never said a definitive yes or no on that.
But that's not
saying I want to leave.
That lukewarm quasi answer to me doesn't affirm.
But it's also a trap question.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, it's for somebody, if you want to be there, you say, I want to be a New York Giant. I want to be a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Well, first of all,
Steeler.
They didn't ask him if he was happy being a New York Giant.
Yeah, what was the question? Happy, happy in New York? It's a trappy question.
I don't necessarily agree that it's a trappy question. I just think this might be better again, we'll see it play out, and Prano's going to think I'm crazy. This might be better for both and or Odell Beckham Jr. and the New York Giants. Sometimes marriages don't work.
Yeah, but so we'll actually never know that answer, though. What if
the Giants go on in the next couple years to have a lot of success?
If the Bulls had traded Michael Jordan and won the championship the next year, you could say, oh, it'd be better. But then you'd be not considering the fact that he won fucking six. Like, yeah, if the Giants are turning it around next year, if suddenly the New York Giants go from 3-whatever to, you know, 9-7, everybody's like, look, they're better without Odell Beckham. Are they? Is that what better is?
I will say,
as a
fan of a team with not talent,
you're going to defend him till death.
Well, why though? Why do you think that?
I'm asking you. Like why is
I've already explained myself multiple times.
You see no character flaws in Odell Beckham Jr.
What character flaws do you see in Odell Beckham Jr.?
I'm saying this much: when you bring
You loved Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown was your guy. You argued with me that Antonio Brown is what Odell Beckham should be.
I don't know if I exactly argued that. And Antonio Brown has been extremely dramatic and a big distraction to the team, to the point where they didn't let him play in the final game against the Bengals, which they lost. So my argument is this on Odell Beckham Jr.? I don't know if I have an extremely strong stance on it, but for you to just say, "Oh, there's everything he does is perfect," and that
the idea, dude, you play
in New York, anything you do is under the biggest fucking microscope.
Yeah,
you know this.
So what do you want him to do? Change who he is and be somebody different because he's playing in New York?
What I'm saying is this: when you're doing some of the things that he's done on the sideline.
What I'm saying is
it's not just him. It's the Ocho Cinco type shit. It's all these guys.
Don't bring up receivers that attacked teammates and that called out their fucking quarterbacks and that got into screaming matches with coaches on the sideline. Don't bring up those guys. Yeah, Odell Beckham wasn't
put on
doing
a Hall of Fame jacket.
He was kicking nets. And he was fucking throwing his helmet.
You tell me Odell's never had an altercation with a teammate or coach on the sideline. I guarantee he has.
I
guarantee he has.
Okay, you can pull it up. But the only altercation that ever had on the sideline with people is when he's fucking pissed off and somebody comes over to him and is like, nah, dude, it's fucking chilling. He's like, nah, man, I'm fucking pissed off. Let me be pissed off. He's never fucking attacked anybody, any teammate. Again, all his teammates have went out of their way to say they want to fucking...
He's also, again, to bring it back to Eli, Odell has never affirmed...
Do you want to pull up the quote about, I want Eli to win another championship before he leaves?
But also, what was the quote that he made during that one interview about...
Where they said, is Eli Manning the problem with the Giants? And he said, I don't know.
Exactly.
Well, so what do you want him to say there?
No. He should say, no, he's not the problem.
Okay. Well, now,
what
you're doing is you are taking something that anybody can go, okay, I don't know, doesn't bother me, but and you're going, no, this is a problem. It's like you're doing what the people do. You're trying to make things that, like, aren't necessarily a thing.
No. What I'm thinking is I'm talking about different scenarios. And by the way, if somebody asked me that, maybe it's not saying he's not the problem, but if somebody asked me and I play with 10 other guys on one side of the ball and they say, is Eli the problem? I just say, we have a lot of things we need to fix as a team. There's an easy solution. Then you're not throwing anybody under the bus.
But they didn't ask. They asked him, is Eli Manning the problem?
You can, again, escape around it. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And say, we have a lot of things we need to fix as a team.
Seems like a real long fuck. That seems like a terrible example of why to trade a all-time.
All I know is this, Joe. All I know is this. There's a reason behind it. Again, I think there's things we don't necessarily know. The fact that they did trade him, I think, mark my words, I think maybe some things are going to come out at a later time that none of us know about that hasn't been made public knowledge. I just think there's some other shit going on here. I think that's the only explanation, in my opinion.
Well, then it's going to be shit that's coming from the Giants in an attempt to explain why they traded away
a great player.
It's not going to come from Odell.
Do you want to know what I think? And here's the thing. It's hard for me. Like, I have obviously very good friends, a very good friend who is very involved in the New York Giants organization. But what I think it comes down to is I think the Giants, much like the Steelers, much like a lot of teams that are you know, family run and have been doing this for a long time, they are like, we're not interested in the millennial look at me fucking receiver. And to them, I would say, guys, the ship sailed. They all have Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay? You didn't just bring in Golden Tate, who has now had a three-camera shoot about signing his deal with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you think you're drafting Kyler Murray and Kyler Murray's not going to have a fucking haircut specific for his fucking draft cap, then you're fucking wrong. You missed your, like, it's over. It's over. The we don't want fucking like, no, this isn't, you're not the fucking, this isn't the 80s anymore. This isn't the 90s. And by the way, if it was the 80s, if it was the 80s and Lawrence Taylor had Twitter, the Giants would have at least one less championship. They'd be like, why did you tweet at that girl? She's 14. Why did you ask her if she wanted to get the pipe? And were you talking about your dick or a crack pipe?
Please clarify for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did you throw cheese at that girl you had sex with? Because she's a baby. It's like those days are over.
Yeah, man.
Those days are over. And honestly, that's what I think it is. And I think it's, oh, he's a distraction because he's a big fucking, and the hair, and everybody wants to know what Odell's doing all the time and the look at me shit. But you keep asking me, like, you defend him. I'll never defend Carmelo Anthony ever because of a lack of effort, a clear dislike from his teammates, constantly throwing his teammates under the bus, sucker punching, lackadaisical play, all the things that Odell Beckham doesn't do. He's a fucking sore loser, and he really gets upset about it, and he fucking acts like a baby when he doesn't win. Is that the best quality in a receiver? No, but I'd rather you show me too much passion than not enough passion. I'd rather you kick over kicking nets than fucking put your hoodie on and sit on the bench and be a sulking, whining.
So hold on.
I'm not going to give it.
And like
now,
I said,
oh, we're going to lose and I'm not going to try. Why should I try if we're losing?
But hold on. So who would you rather have from not a actual on the field perspective? It sounds like to me, if you are running a team, you'd rather have, as far as personality wise, you'd rather have the Odell Beckham Jr. type personality versus a Julio Jones, I'm quiet personality.
No. I know. I just want the best player.
I just want the best guy.
And the other thing, I think...
But I'll certainly tell you this.
These teams, these old school teams, got to realize that these players have just as big of a platform or bigger than they do now. Like, Odell Beckham, it's not... The Steelers story is not going to be the only story out there about Antonio Brown.
Right.
Or the New York Giants. It's not going to be the only story out there. And people like don't have to take their word for it because all these guys
I'm just posing the question. That's what I'm saying. Because you use that as an example. I'm just saying to you, you're saying you don't prefer one over the other as far as personality.
I want the guy who scores the most touchdowns with the most yards. And on the fucking as and everything. So yes, I want Odell Beckham over Cole Beasley.
Yeah,
even though Cole Beasley's putting out a rap album. Because I'll take Odell Beckham wearing a fucking Nazi uniform over Cole Beasley.
Yeah,
I will.
I would too. Now
I got a great mental image, by the way, of that with his blonde hair.
Too,
now
man.
Julio Jones, AJ. Okay, now we're talking about other fucking. We're talking about other elite wide receivers. Don't we all just want Jerry Rice? Of course, that's what we all want. But Jerry Rice is the only person that the word GOAT should be used to describe in football, because there's only one GOAT. The greatest of all time. The hardest working. The fucking
all the quietest, records.
All the everything.
Super Bowl MVP.
Does everybody want
three
fucking,
Super Bowls?
Does everybody want Jerry Rice? Of course. Of course they do. But I'll take Michael Irvin over fucking Plaxico Burress. I'll take Michael. I mean, who? Give me a fucking. I'll take Michael Irvin over Jordy Nelson. Oh, Jordy Nelson. Fucking everybody loves Jordy Nelson. Nice guy. Cut again. I'll take you wearing fucking, you know, suits with more pinstripes and you have catches on the season, even though you're a fucking all-pro receiver and you're going into a house designed to look like the White House, but it's really a brothel, and then you're filling your car with underage girls and you're having sex with them because you're Michael Irvin.
It's a good dresser.
He was a great dresser in court.
Still is.
Yeah.
Still is on the NFL Network.
Yeah. Especially in court with that mink coat. I'd take the two guys that Dave Gettleman traded, Odell Beckham Jr. and Steve Smith, over every 49er receiver since Tio. Right? Every single one.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of your guys since Tio.
Zero. Nothing.
Not good.
Not good.
You got Mario Manningham.
Yeah, not good.
Well, look,
wasn't
guys.
Not good with Alex Smith.
I know we wanted to keep this short. We're exhausted. We still have some.
What other big free agents have signed?
You guys want to talk D Ford? Great pickup.
Teddy Bridgewater remains with the Saints.
Jordan Matthews coming to the Niners.
I'm not sure Teddy Bridgewater. Well, the Saints giving the Saints hate money, huh? Yeah. $7.5 million for a backup.
$7.25 million for Teddy Bridgewater.
I guess
they're just paying him enough to not be a starter. Wouldn't he get like $15 million at least with the Dolphins?
I don't know. Obviously not, right?
Yeah.
Has anybody? He's not turning down twice as much money to start somewhere, unless Teddy Bridgewater is like, you can't get cut if you never start.
Yeah.
You guys signed Jordan Matthews, your San Francisco 49ers. Haha, Clinton Dix headed to Chicago. You guys also signed Jason Verrett.
Haha, Clinton Dix apparently took less money to go to Chicago, which props to Haha, Clinton Dix. He's going to shove it to the fucking Packers. And he's getting back together with his Alabama boy.
What was I going to say? We forgot to say former Seahawk, what's his name? Safety, signed with the Ravens.
Yep. I thought we were going to get him too.
Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas.
I really wanted him.
Yeah.
To the Ravens. Who fucking their defense better be good.
Blake Bortles waived by the Jags. I do want to ask this question. Does anybody sign Blake Bortles?
Yes.
As a backup?
Yes.
I hope it's not the Niners.
Somebody will sign him.
He's fucking garbage.
Somebody will sign him.
Yeah, I think he will.
Well, look, guys.
I mean, we're 2 years removed from him playing in the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
We're not even 2 years removed. We're fucking basically a year removed from him playing in the AFC Championship game.
That was the best Steve's ever played.
Yes, absolutely. And he's trash, and he's always been trash. But the bottom line is he is respectful of the national anthem, and he will absolutely get signed for some sort of
contract. Because he does not kneel.
I mean, Nathan Peterman's still in the fucking... Nathan Peterman got a second contract.
Stop it. I thought the Raiders cut him.
Nathan Peterman is on the practice squad of the Raiders. He's not on the actual team, for the record.
I think any one of us would be a
no
better
one's on the
NFL,
practice squad yet.
NFL player than Nathan Peterman.
He was signed when Nathan Peterman signed with the Raiders. He signed for their practice squad last year.
Right, but I'm saying coming into he got a new contract. Right, he's under contract with the Raiders.
He's under contract.
I think they cut him.
Did they again?
Yeah, I think they did. I think they did.
So now the question is, does Nathan Peterman get another contract?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a quick pivot.
Because that's straight collusion.
I want to wrap up this episode.
Yes.
Because we got to sleep. Best ballpark. out here in Arizona, because for anybody who wants to come out, Talking Stick, where the Diamondbacks play, we saw today, beautiful
Diamondbacks
ballpark.
And the Rockies, shared complex.
Shared complex, very well done. The Rockies have the right field, first base side. Mm-hmm. We entered through the left field gate. Well, we ended up having to go back out the left field gate and meeting Laz at home plate. But we basically came through the Diamondbacks side of the thing. A walkway with all of their, you know, team their history gear on it. It was their welcome side. Their team stores in left field. Their executive offices are in left field. Right field's got the Rockies, all the Rocky shit. Beautiful ballpark. Like, truly a major league level ballpark if there was, like, another deck on it to fucking, you know, house 20,000 more people or whatever. But, yeah, fantastic ballpark. What a day we had out there hanging out by the bullpen, watching surfer mom Zach Greinke.
Dude, it was odd how much of a Hermosa Beach mom Zach Greinke looks like.
Yeah.
My favorite part of that stadium was seeing the coach for the – we were hanging out when we first got there by the Diamondbacks bullpen. Seeing the older coach hit on that woman standing right next to us. Just so you guys know, we're standing above the bullpen. You know, the players are right below us. And there's this very attractive woman, and he says to her he likes her hat. And he says, "Where did you get it?" And she goes, "Walmart."
Yeah.
Just throwing game out in front of everybody. I loved it. How old do you think that guy was?
50.
50, just hitting on some like 30-year-old he had zero shot with.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. That guy's a fucking bullpen catcher. Yeah. He's got a shot.
Yeah, he's got
That's a good uniform.
She was blonde. He took a shot.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
Is that the move? Like every game?
Apparently.
You just take a shot at some... course. Some girl by the bullpen.
What else are you going to do?
And then some girl took a shot down at them, and it was like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you guys get a DH? It's like, fucking ask your husband, you dumb bitch.
Yeah, what did she ask the players?
She's like, why do you guys get a DH? Thought you were in the National League. She's like, just shouting it into the dugout. She's like, Wyatt. My tits want to know why you guys get in. Her husband's like, babe, what are you doing?
Stop it.
She's like, trying to get fucked by an entire bullpen. Get the fuck away from me.
Who's the most savage of athletes? Is it baseball or hockey players? I feel like with girls, they just mow through women, right?
Hockey players don't have a great rep, right?
Yeah. They're savages.
Yeah, it's one of those two.
One of those two, right?
I mean, let's be honest. NBA players don't exactly have a great rep either.
Yeah, but when I think of...
Have NBA players ever, like, traded wives? Like, that happened in baseball.
No, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
And, like, hockey players routinely fuck each other's girlfriends.
Yeah, and now that hockey players, like, again, I was friends with a bunch of the hockey guys at my school. They would straight up have contest. Who does this? Contest. Guys on the team, they'd be like... Whoever fucks the fattest chick tonight, they're all going to throw $10 in a pot. Whoever fucks the fattest chick gets $200. Like, that's the kind of savagery.
Like, your guys are millionaires. Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have been a great hockey player for that, huh?
You would have crushed.
Would have crushed.
Yeah, head wouldn't have helped a lot, but...
Too soon.
Sorry, kid. Yeah. You'll be fine, kid.
Yeah. But you would have been playing before the denting happened.
Yeah. The denting anniversary is coming up on 5 years.
Yeah. Or maybe you would have got dented at 6 at the ice rink.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll never know.
Crazy Eyes Sam Bradford got all serious with me last night. He's like, I've been listening to your podcast that long. He goes, it was really tough after the denting because, like, he goes, like, your speech was really bad, man. No offense. And I'm like, no offense. You look like Crazy Eyes Sam Bradford. No offense. I love this dream team of dirtballs we have now.
That was great. And then shout out to Tyler, who sent us to Chino Bandido tonight, which was the Chinese-Mexican restaurant. Hold on. I'm going to just go shut off this heat that's pumping.
How much?
Unfortunately, I couldn't eat any Chino Bandido. Chinese-Mexican. I was too hungover. I wasn't ready to eat yet. So... like the idea of a pork burrito, it was just thinking about it made me want to.
I got a glazed pork and a spicy pork burrito mixed with refried beans and white rice and a delicious cookie. And I regretted it the minute I ate it. Laz made the best point to Prano as we're walking into this place. He goes, Prano, you took food advice from a 22-year-old dirtball.
I mean, he said it was the best restaurant in town.
In town.
Also, it was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I did, my okay, cheese quesadilla enough. was just fine. You know,
well, I'm kind of hungry right now.
The chicken, what was it, the jade chicken or whatever, is pretty good. The pork wasn't great.
Yeah.
The pork was a little firm.
Well, we are going to drive to Palm Springs tomorrow. If you guys are listening to this episode or watching this episode, Joe will be at Palm Springs all weekend at the Fantasy Springs.
That's right. Fantasy Springs Resort and Casino. One show tomorrow, two shows Saturday. Come check it out. I'll be doing, I think, 25 minutes or a half hour featuring for Alan Havey. So come to the show.
Cool. And you guys can follow us at The Dirty Sports. I'm sending out a bunch of koozies when I get back. So thanks to everybody who sent me their address or sent screenshots using any of our promo codes or a screenshot of an iTunes review. Again, I'll get those out when I get back to Los Angeles. You can follow me at Andy Ruther on all things social media. Andy Lazarus, what's going on, buddy?
You follow me on Andy Lazarus on Instagram and Venice Gaze on Instagram. And we'll be doing the Home Run Comedy Show next weekend in L.A. Joe, you're on that show,
yeah? I am, yeah.
Baseball Central. At Baseball Central in the parking lot. Should be a good time. I think there's tacos and booze, and it's should be pretty hot.
Speaking of good times in baseball-related parking lots, I do just want to throw something out since we were discussing it yesterday. If you notice, Andy Ruther is wearing his Amarillo Sod Poodles gear. He was repping it today at the San Diego Ballpark because they are the San Diego affiliate. We were talking with Sod Poodle Dirtball Nick Yardley yesterday about potentially doing a great night at the Amarillo Ballpark. You know, maybe we were throwing out the idea of maybe doing like a VIP like box with like booze and food, and maybe doing a podcast in the parking lot and all kinds of things. And at first, you know, the idea of going to Amarillo, I was like, where the fuck is Amarillo? And when he said to me on the phone at first was, he goes, it's not really near anything. It's like, it's 3 hours from Oklahoma City. It's 5 hours from Dallas. It's 3 hours from Albuquerque. It's like 4 hours from Colorado Springs. And I was like, well, while not being close to anything is actually very central to a lot of things.
Yeah.
So if you're in any of those areas, or you even know where Amarillo is in life as it relates to where you are, slide into our mentions, slide into our DMs, hit us up, and let us know if you would come to an epic minor league baseball dirty sports bonanza, say July or August.
Love it.
Because if we can get a head count of like a nice gang of people,
yeah, that'd be fun.
Sounds like we can get a fucking.
I'm looking right now. Nick already's emailed me. We have a possibility of luxury suites, dugout suites, concourse suites, a party deck, and basically to add on to what Prano said, if we get a nice group of you guys that are willing to come to this, we can set up a whole event. The Saw Poodles, it sounds like, are going to be welcoming
very welcoming to us.
Yeah, and we're talking, you know, not just a pitch.
Are they there triple A or double A?
Double A.
Double A.
Which is like basically better than triple A these days, right? All the good teams.
You can go from double A to the pigs just as easy.
Yeah.
So this would be a full event. We're looking at possibly, like Joe said, July and August. If you have any interest, DM us. Let us know. We want to make this a whole dirty sports event. Might involve koozies, the ballpark, you know, promotional things, me dressing up as a sod poodle. Prano's.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I asked if I could be the sod poodle. They said I'm too tall.
They said you need to be 5'8 to 5'11, which I fit that build.
Possibly.
I asked Nick, I go, how many, you know, because what I know about minor league teams, really, it's all about selling tickets. I go, how many tickets do I got to sell to start in right field?
He's like, 100.
Yeah. It's like a lot. It's like more than I can say right now. But
he also mentioned the possibility of us shooting out t-shirts, the t-shirt cannon. I mean, this is a whole, like, we're not just doing the pitch. This would be a whole festive game of dirty sports related stuff.
If that sounds like something you'd be interested in doing on a weekend in the summer, let us know. If we can get an idea, we'll start to get the ball rolling on that.
Cool. Well, awesome.
Sounds cool.
Well, guys, let's get some sleep. Dirtballs, enjoy the episode. Enjoy the weekend. We'll be back again in a couple days. And most importantly, stay dirty.